welcome to Glenshaw Valley. First, my apologies to Tom. We had a Women's Association meeting this morning. I haven't even said good morning to Tom, but I trust you had safe travels. It's nice to have you back with us again today, and obviously your trip went well, and everything was good, I hope, yes, so welcome back. Just a few announcements this morning. Just to reiterate, it's already in the bulletin, 2 weeks from today, the 28th, will be the annual church picnic. So please plan to attend that. There is a sign-up sheet on the back if you want to bring a side dish. Meat, beverages, and desserts are going to be provided. No dessert, just meat and vegetable, meat and beverage will be provided. So if you want to bring a side dish or a dessert to share, that'd be great. And if you've been to one of our picnics or luncheons in the past, you realize there will still be enough food if you don't bring something. So please plan to be here. We'd love to have you join us as well. Also, there will be There will be an auction of gift baskets, so feel free to bring a couple extra dollars to drop in the basket and maybe you'll win a prize. Also, an announcement, it went out in an email a couple weeks ago. For those of you who remember Jean Cook, Jean was a member of this church and was on our shut-ins list for a number of years. I think the last time she was here was the 130th anniversary service that we had. Jean passed away earlier this month, and there will be a memorial service here in the church on Friday the 26th. Service will be at 11, and then they will be having a family luncheon after that. We will be looking for some people to help with that luncheon, either by bringing a side dish, by helping to set up, helping to serve, helping to clean up, anything that you can do to be of help that day. Please get in touch with BJ so that we don't have duplication of dishes, but we are welcoming duplication of help. So please mark that on your calendar, Friday the 26th, 2 days later, Sunday the 28th, picnic. I do have another announcement. This is like kind of a praise request, kind of an announcement. Kristen is not with us today because she is packing to move. She has found a place to live outside of the dorms of Presbytery, and she is moving to, I don't have the address, but she's moving to renting a home in Sharpsburg, so she's going to be very close to the church. She's packing because she needs to move tomorrow and Tuesday, so she'll be in her new location. She has completed her internship at the VA. She's very happy about that. She, as we mentioned before, was approved by her home Presbytery of Santa Fe as certified ready to receive a call from a church. So that is all good news. She is meeting with the Pittsburgh Presbytery Commission on Ministry this week so that they can evaluate her readiness, see what's going on. What I don't know is whether or not we'll know anything after that meeting this Wednesday, or if we will have to wait until the next presbytery meeting, which is the 22nd of September. So either way, we'll know what's Kristen's future very soon. And in the meantime, we do continue to have Tom with us, which we're very happy about. Tom's going to take a couple weeks off in September, but then he's going to come back and be with us the first week of October. And those 3 weeks that he's taking off in September, Kristen will be back in our pulpit. So that's where we stand right now, as a lot of people are wondering. So right now, that's the plan. So with that, Tom, it's all yours.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters. It is good to be here again. I'm enjoying this summer to no end, to no end. It just, you've been so lovely, so gracious, and kind and responsive to my presence, and it's such a gift. Good to hear about Kristen's progress. The young people are moving into Sharpsburg. I don't know if you know that, but it's becoming gentrified, you know. The young people are moving into these river towns, and that's such a good thing. They're going to bring these old river towns back to life, fix up the houses, and make them a great place. So Sharpsburg is the place to be now if you're young and starting out, and that's a good thing. We're back from a quick trip to Connecticut with my two daughters, and the coastal towns of Connecticut. If you've not been through the coastal towns of Connecticut, these beautiful New England homes and the water and the boats and the blue sky and the blue water and the cold water. It's cold, so if you want to get in, you go to South Carolina. But if you want to see beauty, why, the coastal towns, those small towns in Connecticut, are just delightful. So we are gathered here on this Lord's Day to worship God, to praise God's name, and to be renewed in our faith together. By the way, the sermon this morning, following our journey through the Beatitudes of Jesus, is part one. Blessed are the peacemakers, part one. And next Sunday will be part two, just to let you know that there will be a continuation of that theme for two Sundays. And thank you for the invitation to picnic. I hope we can come. I'm trying to talk the boss into it. Just to warn you, I eat a lot.
Glenn Shaw Valley does food better than anybody.
Oh, okay.
Just so you know.
Okay. So I can eat for both lunch and dinner, and that's because my wife never cooks dinner on Sundays. Okay. With open hearts and thankful lives, we gather together to worship our gracious and loving God. Let us call one another to worship. Our lives are in the care of God. This day we have come to praise and thank God for all that God has done for us.
We gather to celebrate God's love and to offer our lives in service.
Come, let us open our hearts to the Lord.
Let us rejoice in God's goodness and love. Amen.
There's a wideness in God's mercy like the wideness of the sea. Let us stand if we're able and join together in voice and song.
Thank you.
In the presence of one another and before God's grace, we offer our prayer of confession. Let us pray. O God of love, you have created humankind to be one great family. You have given us the gift of speech to be an instrument for peacemaking. Forgive us for the times when we have spoken too hastily without thinking of the consequences. Forgive our inability, both our dear ones and our enemies. Grant us forgiveness for all that we have done and all that we have left undone. Make us your forgiven and forgiving disciples. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life has gone. A new life has begun. Amen.
Amen.
And now together we confess our faith in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now send your greeting to your friends. So in our prayer concerns today, we would remember Cliff, still recovering and hopefully fully recovering from COVID. And we miss the work that he does for us as the tech person, of course, as well as his wonderful presence in other ways. Our world in great need, and our loved ones, near and far, who struggle for health and strength and purpose and life, whatever their need may be. And so we bring our hearts to God. The psalmist says and invites us, pour out your hearts before him. Isn't that a wonderful invitation? I accept that. I accept that invitation from God. Pour out your hearts before the Lord. God wants us to cast all of our cares upon him. What a great and wonderful invitation. And so we do that as we pray this day. O God of all creation, who has called every being and everything and every plant and every animal and all that breathes and lives, who has called everything into life, we are grateful to you that you are mindful of us, of your world, in all its diversity, and that you have blessed us with brothers and sisters near and far, and you have given every human being great dignity. We thank you for the various gifts and talents around us that help to shape our lives in this world. For the contribution of every hand and heart, voice. Together as we fashion life and live together as your people. In a divided world, in an angry world, we ask for your spirit to unite us, especially wherever we face lack of understanding and disunity in the world, in the church, in our families, wherever we are. We lay before you the burdens of our hearts. And so may your Holy Spirit come and unite us once again in the face of many conflicts, in the heat of hatred, violation of the life that we have in you. We bring to you the pain of those who are sick, discouraged, the victims of domestic and world violence. Place your healing spirit upon us. God of all creation, how we thank you today that in Christ we are reconciled to one another. And so we ask for your uniting spirit to help us to overcome all divisions, that our lives, our families, our communities, our world may live in peace. We bring you our prayers. We open our hearts and pour them out to you. And we pray in Jesus' name, the one who taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Once again, if able, we stand and join in hymn number 753. Please be seated. Beautiful words of St. Francis of Assisi, so beautifully done. We join together now in worshiping God by bringing our gifts. Now with our hands we bring to you our response of joy and love and service as we dedicate these gifts today. Amen. As our scripture reader is coming, she's going to read from a section from Matthew's Gospel. Listen for these words to lift up the importance of speech. The words that we say.
Good morning. Scripture reading for today is Matthew 12, 33 through 37. Make a good tree and its fruit will be good, or make a bad tree and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, who are evil, say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. This is a reading of God's word.
And then from Matthew's Gospel, Jesus teaches his friends. Now when Jesus, saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Let us pray. O God, may your living word fall upon us as we deliver, preach, and hear and do your word. In Jesus' name, amen. When Martin Luther King was a 14-year-old boy, he entered a speech contest, an oratorical contest. And when it came time for the finals, and he made the finals of the contest, he and his teacher, Mrs. Bradley was her name, got on a bus and went to a neighboring city where the young 14-year-old boy won. Are you surprised that Martin Luther King would win a speech contest? Of course. What a gifted speaker. Even at 14, he was the winner. And then it came time for them to come home, and they got on a bus. And as the bus made its way across the state of Georgia, the bus began to fill up. And finally it was full. And then some white passengers got on the bus. And the bus driver told Mrs. Bradley and the young Martin Luther King that they should get up from their seats and make room and stand so the white passengers could sit. I guess they moved too slowly. Maybe they didn't move at all. And the bus driver began to curse them with every word that you can imagine. Told those black son of bitches to get up out of their seats. And they did. Martin Luther King remembers that moment. For the next 90 miles as they journeyed back to Atlanta where they lived, he said he had never been so angry in all of his life. I think about that bus driver. I wonder if he was a member of some congregation. You know, this was the South 70 years ago. Everybody was a member of a church in the South in those days. I wonder if the bus driver was a member of a church. I wonder if he went to some regularity. I wonder if he ever heard the Beatitudes taught in his Sunday school class, or whether he heard ever the preacher preach on the Beatitudes of Jesus. I wonder if he ever sat in a Sunday school class and as they opened the Gospels and read the story of Jesus' resurrection appearances. I wonder if they ever studied John chapter 20. That chapter about the first Easter evening where the disciples had gathered together in fear, and they had locked the doors of the house on that first Easter Sunday, and somehow Jesus appears, the risen Christ appears to the disciples, and the first word that the risen Lord says, peace. Shalom. Aleichem. And then the risen Lord shows them that it's really It's really him. He shows them his side. He shows them his hands. Yes, I am the crucified one. And then he says to them a second time, Shalom Aleichem. Peace. In that same chapter, 1 week later, exactly 1 week later, the disciples again are in a room. The doors once again are locked. And somehow Jesus appears to them this second time. This time, Thomas is with them. He was not there that first time. And he said, unless I see, I won't believe. And so this time they were all there, Thomas included. And Jesus again appears to them a second time. And the first word that he says, Shalom Aleichem. Peace. I wonder if that bus driver had a chance to be in a Sunday school class, whether he studied the risen Lord's words, the first words that the risen Christ says to his disciples. Shalom. Peace. When the Bible uses the word shalom, that word that we mean, it means peace. It's a loaded word. It's one of the most beautiful words in all of the scriptures. It's such a beautiful word, and it's so filled. It means completeness. It means wholeness. It means safety. It's a word that gathers together every conceivable thing, every expression that we can possibly imagine, and it puts it into one word, all of God's blessings, all that God wants to give us, all the goodness from God's heart to us is placed in this one word, Shalom. Everything that I have, I give you, God is saying. And of course, if I should say to you, Shalom Aleichem, your response, if you wanted to bless me back, would be Aleichem Shalom. We are God's peacemakers. In a world of disunity, I read back in that book of Genesis where it depicts what life was like in the world before Noah built the ark. And God looked down upon the earth and he saw corruption and violence. And I think, how God must see that again in our world, among nations and families and communities, and how desperately we need God's shalom to be alive and to be at work in God's world. I pride myself sometimes by being able to guess where people are from. Now, I cannot hear a Pittsburgh accent. And I think that's because where I grew up in Southeast Missouri, everybody sounds like you all. I mean, when I came to this place, I thought I was still in Southeast Missouri. The accent is so similar, I just can't hear it. I can't hear it. But when I hear a Southern accent, and I've done this on a number of times, I would meet someone from the South and hear the Southern accent, and I would say, "You're from Virginia." Or I would hear someone speak and I would say to them, "I think you're from South Carolina." Or I would hear someone's language and I would say, "Mississippi?" It's a Southern accent in every instance. But each one of those places has its own dialect, which makes it distinctive. And so we are those who speak the dialect, the language, the accent. That our true citizenship is not of this world. Yes, we are a part of it. Yes, we live in it. Yes, it's a good world that God has made. But the way the world operates, as if violence and cruelty and meanness that we see, that we hear, it's on the television, it's on the radio, it's among neighbors and friends, this meanness, this shouting down of other people, this shutting down of other people, this cruelty and the violence and anger all around us. We live in this world, but we are not citizens of this world. We speak a different accent, hopefully so that the world will hear from our language, our speech, that we represent a different place, that we represent a different way to be in the world. The violence around us, among us, does not change the world. It rearranges the chairs. Sometimes it makes the world worse than it was before, but it never changes the world. The true change that the world needs comes from those who bring the blessing, shalom, aleichem. We each have the potential to do that, to be a part of God's great work. We got the latest Time magazine just the other day, yesterday. You probably can't see it, but on the front of Time magazine, there's the lead article, "How to Do More Good." It's kind of an interesting article about young 20-something, 30-something people who are beginning to commit themselves to a different kind of world. Isn't that a good thing? They're beginning to form lifestyle, giving patterns, living patterns. Not only so that we will have another generation able to live on this planet, but so that people hundreds and even thousands of years will be able to live, thrive on this planet so endangered. But what I love about the cover, this is the water, all this blue, and there's a woman, looks like a young woman, with a summer hat. She's taken off her sandals and she's sitting on a platform going out into the water. And she's putting her index finger into the water. And then you see the circles, the ripples, going wider and wider and wider. It's a great article encouraging us to remember that one person, you, have an influence in this world for peace and love and compassion. And that from the ripples, from the influence of each single one of us, your life counts in the work of God's shalom and love and compassion in the world. Your life and mine is needed. God desperately needs you. The finger, your finger, into the water. And the ripples go wider and wider and wider, and each one of us can make a difference. And so we speak the language, the accent of peace. And by that we bless. We bless the world. Let this be our solemn vow. You know that song? Let there be peace on earth. Let this be my solemn vow, to take each moment and live each moment in God's shalom. And if I say to you, Shalom Aleichem, you say back to me, Amen. We worship God as closing our service now, in the joining together in voice, standing if able. I've got peace like a river. Oh my. A river flowing. A river never ceasing to flow. A river forever flowing. I've got peace like a river. I hope you have. I hope you join in singing this song. And I hope your life will count. Will count for God. Let us stand if able to sing.
Peace like
Well, if you have peace like a river and joy like a fountain, and if you've got love like an ocean, it's not because you're so great. It's because God is great. And these are gifts that God gives, brings to us. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the strength and power of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen.